Almost 2 months after we left Liverpool, we entered Narragansett Bay and slowly beat our way up to Providence. And on the morning of August 17th, 1832, we warped into the India docks. When I realized that we were going to dock, I went to my cabin and excitedly dressed myself in the clothes I had kept for the occasion. Bonnet over my mangled hair. Full, if somewhat ragged, skirts. Shoes rather less than intact. Gloves more gray than white. To my surprise, I felt so much pinched and confined, I found it difficult to breathe. I glanced at my trunk, where I had secreted my sailor's garb as a tattered memento. For a moment I considered changing back to that, but quickly reminded myself that it must, from then on, remain a memento. As the rope secured us, I looked upon the dock and, with a beating heart, saw my family among the waiting throng. There were my father and mother, brother and sister, all searching up for me. They were as I remembered them, prim, overdressed, despite the dreadful summer heat. My mother was in a full skirt the color of dark green, with a maroon shawl about her shoulders and a bonnet covering most of her severely parted hair. My father, the very image of a man of property, was frock-coated, vested, top-hatted, his mutton chops a gray bristle. My brother and sister were but little miniatures of them. Truly, I was glad to see them, and yet I found that I struggled to hold back tears. Farewells to the crew were all too brief, carefully restrained. The real goodbyes had been spoken the night before. Tears from Barlow, a gruff hug from Fisk, kisses to my cheeks from Ewing. "You're my mermaid now, lass," he whispered. An offer, with a sly grin, of a splicing knife from Grimes, refused. A round of rum toasted by Foley, topped out with three huzzas from all. Then came the final midnight watch with Zachariah, during which time he held my hand, and I, unable to speak, struggled to keep my tumbling emotions within.